Nakakain na po ba tayong lahat? Busog na? Okay, our session now is Stories That Heal. And we all know that, ilan po sa atin dito ang Kristiyano? Christians. Okay. So we all know that stories really heal, di ba? And sometimes if it's your own story, the more you tell that story, the more it helps you heal. Yun ang tinatawag natin na testimony. Di ba po? So today I think we're going to be listening to different testimonies, different stories of breast cancer survivors. Nung una po akong nagka-cancer 11 years ago, I personally, every time I would give my testimony, I would cry. Matapang ako sa showbiz, ha? Pero sa tunay na buhay, iyakin po ako. And every single time I would give my story, I would cry. But what I noticed is through the years, as I would tell my story, I would cry less and less. That is called healing. That is why it's so important to share our stories with our sisters. And before anything else, I would already like to thank in advance those who are going to be sharing their stories today. It is stories such as these that inspire us and give us hope. So without further ado, I'd like to call Dr. Honey Abarquez, a well-known oncologist from Davao Doctors Hospital. She's in charge of our free breast clinic. Asan po si Dr. Honey Abarquez? Let's give her a round of applause. Thank you, Doc.
Thank you very much. Maayang hapon sa inyong tanan. Kamusta mo? Hello. I see familiar faces, so... Kamusta mo ang tanan? Okay. Tinood ba na? Okay. Kusog man ninyong tingog, so tinood siguro. Okay. Thank you very much for coming today. The session this afternoon is entitled Stories That Heal. I will not be doing this alone. You know very well that in my professional life, I am a medical oncologist. But we are a lot of things outside of our professional lives. I am also a daughter. I am a sister. I'm a caregiver. And sometimes I'm myself, and sometimes I'm not myself. Okay? So, we prepared a small audiovisual clip, and I hope that you will be inspired to listen. After the clip, the exercise is basically on listening. And why did we choose this? Because listening is a faculty that is inherent in all of us. Dilini mo na mapalit sa Mercury Drugstore, naana sa atong tanan, and depende kung unsa ang atong estilo paminaw, pero ingon nila, pag maminaw daw ta, importante na maminaw po ta sa atong kaugalingon. So kung maminaw ta sa laing tao, importante na maminaw po daw ta sa atong kaugalingon, mentras nagapaminaw ta sa laing tao. So what I just said was that the tool that we are using today is listening. So listening is inherent in all of us. We have that faculty. And even if you cannot hear, even if you are devoid of the faculty of hearing, because some of us cannot hear because there is something physically wrong with our ears, there is still the faculty to hear with our hearts. And you know very well, deaf people, they do not listen. They read lips, but they listen to vibrations. And so, why listening? Because listening is one of the tools that actually is inherent in all of us. And how we listen to others is probably more effective if, as we listen, we also listen to ourselves while we are listening to others. So I prepared this clip. This is 7 minutes, and I don't know if you're familiar with Joni Mitchell. In 1969, there was this woman who sang a song. And then in 2000, which is a good 31 years later, she rendered the same song. So to this music, I am playing this clip. And to this clip, I just want you to utilize one tool other than listening, because we will do a lot of listening today. Listening to four more, so that you will not, so you will know that I am not the only one talking. I will talk as a caregiver and as a medical oncologist experiencing what it is to feel treating somebody who is like a sister to me. And then a child will talk. She's not a child anymore. She was a child when I saw her. She's a teenager now. And then along the way, she was sick and her mother became sick. And along the way, they're both good. And along the way, they're here with us. So she's telling the story, her story. That's Denise. That's her name, Denise. And then there's another woman by the name of Joy. And so I gave it the title, Joy C. So C can be celebration, depending on what C you want in celestial. Wow. Doesn't have to be cancer. Celebration, C is a lot of things. C is candy. C is candor. C is compassion. C is community. What else? Courage. So Joy C. Joy is going to go next. So there's a child, there's a survivor. And then who's the third one? The third one is somebody who is a teacher, professor. Nikki. Nikki is a professor. And she is an English professor, and she actually teaches people how to speak. And in a space of 6 months within each other, the people who really loved each other in her lives went. Her mama went, and then after 6 months or so, her papa went. But it is only today that she actually agreed to talk about mama first. And in some other venue, maybe she will talk about papa. And then the fourth story is going to be a letter to mama. The daughter cannot be here today, so the daughter is a friend of mine. I went to school with that daughter. We didn't have the same course, but you know, some people, they have a vocation. So if mine is medicine, hers is something truly, truly more celestial and sacred probably than medicine. And since she cannot be here today, I will do the honor of reading a letter to Mama. And I will end with another C on a C, which is coping on cancer. So that's an article I wrote as part of my task as a member of the Philippine College of Physicians. So if we are all ready, if I can have the next 60 minutes with you, together with my crew, permit me. Sir, music, maestro, can I have the lights off, please? Lights.
All of them.
Turn it off. Oh, maybe this side of the room. Thank you very much. I'm okay. I'm good. Thank you. So this is just basically. Oh. Thank you very much. That is dedicated to all, to everybody here. And I hope you are ready now to go on and proceed with our session. So can I just get the PowerPoint presentation running? So basically, I already told you in the introduction what this is about. Today's topic is stories that heal. And the tool that we are using is actually listening. And with listening is one of the seven tools of spiritual thinking, and it will actually allow us, this is an essential skill in healthcare. you're not just patients here. There are caregivers here. There are doctors here. There are support group members here. There's family here. And listening, like I said, is a faculty that is inherent in all of us. And listening is a tool that is very, very powerful, both in and outside of the healthcare field. And like I said, the quality of how we listen can bring benefit not only to those being listened to, but also the listeners themselves. And listening as a spiritual tool involves participants in deep listening and requires that the listener finds inner peacefulness so they can give their full attention, focusing on what the person is saying with an open heart and without judgment. So today, we will do just that. And I would like to call Denise. I always call her Denise. So just sit down, bear with me. She's 14. She's a survivor, not of breast. Just sit down, okay? So just sit down, just hold my hand, hold my hand. So Denise is 14. You don't have to be old to get cancer. And Lynette used to chide me why I took a child to talk for us. Because sometimes we've forgotten that we are actually kids in our hearts. And sometimes we just have to remember the child in us and reconnect in the child in us to be able to actually remember who we are. So sit down. And the next one who will join me on the stage is actually Joy. Joy C. I put the title Joy C. And the next one is Nikki. Fe Nikki Musni. Okay. But I will go first. I will read first. Nikki is Nikki. So we are at a disadvantage because we're just looking. I don't know why they decided to make us look at you. Look at the audience this way, and somebody decided to forget to. Okay, so can we just like, because we're, okay, thank you. So we will read first. Sit down. Can I have my folder? There. No, the blue one. So thank you. We will sit down now, because I think it's easier to read when we're sitting down. Yeah, sure. Sorry. Sure.
If I may suggest, yung mga nandito, gumitna na lang kayo. Diba? Para the you will be able to hear better and listen better. Oh, diba? Listen kagad. Listen. Okay? Yan, compress. Parang magpipictorial tayo. Yan, okay lang kayo dito? If you can move, move pa rin. Bahala kayo. Okay lang? Okay. Sige, there. Better? Thank you, Doctora.
Thank you. So if you don't mind, we will please allow us to read it sitting down. So I will go with a piece I wrote back in 2005. Who was I sharing this with? I took care of Loida. Loida is a colleague of mine. But before she became a colleague of mine, she was actually she was like a big sister to me. And her mother and my mother were school teachers. She became a doctor, and she became a pulmonologist. And on one of those occasions, I was waiting for a plane ride back home. I get a call from a fellow pulmonologist and says, "Honey, where are you?" And I said, "I'm waiting for my flight's delayed. I'm gonna take the next flight home." And then she says, "Okay, you better come home because you need to see Loida." So I wrote this piece in 2005, and the title is Transitions. she is asleep when I enter her room. The pain medications are beginning to work enough for her to doze off. The fluid from each lung have been drained a few hours earlier. Air is finally getting through her airways, and her respiration is regular and easy. Less labored. Let her sleep for now. I leave the half-lit room and walk down to radiology. The corridors were nearly empty. There is no one in the reading room. It feels eerie studying the black and white shadows cast by her liver and chest. The CT scan picture gives me the chill, that bottomless pit sensation in my gut slowly intensifying out of nowhere. It's all over the place, both breasts like bulbs of lamp posts fixed to the chest wall, the lungs and the liver riddled with lesions without remorse. The radiographs look bad. I stem the panic. How can this be? Why so much? Why so late? Why only now? Can we do something for her? Will it work? Will she agree? Is there the will? Will she fight? Will she try? Help! I silently yell to the empty room. Calm down. Sit down. Breathe. Focus. I take my reprieve for the night with the CT scan images haunting me, comforted by the thought that I need not talk to her now. We will talk in the morning. The last time I saw Loida was shortly after Christmas of the previous year. She looked well. She was her usual cheery self, combing the mall with her two daughters. But I always had something to say more, but never did. It was almost like she had a teaser, or maybe I was just overreading her eye language. She showed no hint of illness. She was well enough to dance at the Christmas party for doctors. She had wind in her. The following day comes, and I visit her early. She is awake. Judith, her surrogate big sister, is busy ministering to her needs. Loida laughs that half smile. I half smile back. Tentatively, at first, I can sense her pain and discomfort. How can this be? She has been like a big sister to me. And suddenly the roles are defined. One, a patient, the other, a doctor. I get the briefest history, saving us both the embarrassment. Cautiously, I lift the white sheets and the gown that cover her. I gaze, transfixed at her disfigured and discolored chest, with a chest tube jutting out on each side. I can feel the fire slowly building up behind my eyes. I cannot recover my composure soon enough for tears not to fall. I swallow very hard, trying to relax the muscles of my face before looking up to her face. I know that some questions from the previous night will remain unasked and unanswered. I just need some clarifications and directions from her. Is she aware of the extent of her disease? Will she consent to active intervention and treatment? Does her mom know? Do her daughters know? What are her wishes? The following day, we start treatment. The following day, a tide of specialists come, waiting for their turn to wish her well and maybe do something for her. There are no adverse effects from treatment. There is too little time for that. How do you answer a mother's question about her only daughter's foreboding and suffering? How do you disclose to an 11-year-old and an 8-year-old that their mom is very sick and that she may die? How do you explain the inaction of being in the very trade of ministering to the sick and yet ignoring and denying your own pain and suffering? How do you tell kids about something that even adults are so fearful to talk about? How do you simplify something so complicated? I guess now there is only the assurance and the certainty that Loida loves her kids and her mother, that this time it is she who needs the unconditional love and acceptance. Mommy is sick. I am so afraid to go near her. Her chest looks awful. It smells bad. Can't she doctor herself? Mommy is afraid. She loves you both, and she needs to hear that you love her too. We will do something about the smell. That afternoon, Loida watches her two cherished daughters sing and dance for her. They are a family again. There are hugs and more hugs and kisses. The crease and frown ease from her forehead. Loida is at peace. I have always wondered at transitions. I am amazed and grateful how easy and painless they sometimes can be. At some preordained time, the heart's erratic pace begins to grow still, unperturbed, and relentless. Each beat slowly fading into the next, till there is none. The heart stops despite our countless thuds and compressions. The physical transition is completed. And the parallel journeys for those left behind begin. The widowed husband, the orphaned mother, daughters, the unprepared friends and colleagues, the patients, and all other lives touched by the person that Loida was. So goodbye, Loida. You certainly lived a meaningful life and a happy one in your special way. So thank you. That's my piece. I needed to get that off my chest because for days on end, I could not. I became sick as well. And I was telling, I don't know, I don't remember who I was telling this story to last night. When Loida passed, I had a scuba diving accident. My sister doesn't even know about this. This was the second accident I had. And for whatever reason, I blacked out underwater. And the doctor who was with me panicked. But it was her transition, and I knew something was gone, because when I went up, she was gone. So I wrote this piece because I needed to get it off my chest. So thank you for that. You ready? Okay, so we're going to move on. You want to comment? We'll just move on, okay? So I hope you will allow us to move on. Yes? Okay. So the girl beside me is Elizabeth Denise. And her mother is?
Emil.
I always call the mother Esmeralda. Okay. So she will talk for us. So, yes? You want to stand up or you want to sit down? She wants to stand up. Yes.
My life with cancer. I've read once that prayers flies where eagle never soars. My life has been filled with long prayers and movers of God's answers. I was born on Christmas Day, December 25, 1996, a perfect gift any mom could ever want for Christmas. Sometime in March 2001, I was only 4 years old then when I was diagnosed by phenotypic leukemia, AML and ALL. My mom did not waste time and pursued my chemotherapy, which lasted for 3 years and 6 months, and I completed on November 2004. Through it all, I remember the months and I remember the prayers and words of encouragement Mom always offered to me. However, after 9 months of August 2005, came another episode of struggle. My condition had relapsed, this time with ophthalmic retinopathy. Mom seems to never get tired of taking care of a cancer patient. Her faith and optimism motivated me to hold on and submit myself once again to a series of treatment. December 2007 is yet another year of anguish for our family. My mom was diagnosed with rectal cancer. I was fearful of my mom's condition, but to my amazement, I witnessed how my mom fought with cancer. She was courageous, full of life, and always have the courage that never falters. My mom is a single parent. My father left us. But mom's ability to face difficulty, fear, and uncertainty inspired me to face my own struggles as the same way she did. I took good care of my mom and tried my best to be sensitive in her every needs. I salute my mom for her confidence, fearlessness, and her unwavering faith in God. We both completed our treatment last December 2008. We were both relieved and we spent time thanking and praising God. Little did we know that we were just being prepared for another ride. On March 2009, after 3 months of off therapy, during our routine checkup, my doctor noted the onset of a new symptom, thus advised CT scan and MRI, to which cancer was found to have metastasized to my brain. For this, I need another cycle of treatment. This is my 10th year in fighting against leukemia. My mom is my inspiration to hold on and keep on fighting. She said that God is greater than cancer, just as the Lord has done in the past. He provided our financial needs and every necessity needed for my treatment. Through it all, I remember the days and months that I stayed in the hospital, as well as our daily visits in the clinic of my doctor, and the seemingly never-ending procedures like radiation therapy, bone marrow, intrathecal, and infusion of chemo drugs that requires being constantly poked with needles, and the pain and mental anguish I have to endure every each procedure. To say the least, the bitter taste of each medicine that I have to take every day of my life. To top it all, the best part of my childhood days were spent mostly in hospital beds and being constantly surrounded with doctors and nurses. Swamped with a hectic schedule for treatment and procedures instead of being in school and playing with friends and brothers. The prayers and words of encouragement Mom always offered to me helped me to become motivated, to be courageous and strong, to submit all my treatments and procedures. Right now, I am 14 years old, a second year high school of Holy Child School of Davao, and because of my faith and unwavering hope in God that I survived leukemia. And now, I can proudly say I am a leukemia survivor for 10 years by God's grace. For my mommy, a tribute for my mom. When I was diagnosed with leukemia, my mom never wears out in taking care of all my needs. She never left my side. She was there for me until now. She never listens to anybody's negative opinions, especially regards with my chances of survival. Like some people are saying, namamatay lang yan. She never believed that I will die, but instead, she believed and prayed that I will make it and survive cancer. I am now in my 10th year with cancer and still a survivor. My mom never loses hope, and so with her encouragement, I am motivated to hold on and submit myself to all my treatments and procedures. Mom's faith in God makes her tough and strong. She never thought of giving up. Because of positive attitude in facing our situations, I never even doubt my chances of survival. My mom is my inspiration to keep on holding on, and face my own struggles with optimism. She gave me the reason to be committed to anchor my faith in God and to continue to believe God's miracle. Actually, my mom and I were both cancer survivors. Yes, we are. She was diagnosed with rectal cancer, but she also completed her treatment. Sabay pa nga kami natapos last December. I was surprised nga that mom's treatment was only for 6 months compared to my treatment. She never lose her hair kasi she was only taking oral chemo drugs. I took good care of my mom. Kahit parate, she doesn't show her pain to us. She carefully hides her own unpleasant physical comfort. But since I know how it feels like when you are undergoing chemo treatment, I can feel this and sense her own pain. Grabe talaga si mami. Kahit may sakit na, she always thinks of our behalf. She doesn't want us to worry over her. She pretends that all is okay with her. Di nga naramdaman ng dalawang brothers ko that she was sick. Pero ako, I know. Mom can't hide it from me. Despite her sickness, she never gets tired of